purport by His divine grace.
Chaitanya only appears once in a day of Brahma. And a day of Brahma is billions of years. I believe it's 4,320,000,000 years, something. And only 500 years ago, in the very recent past. And when Lord Chaitanya came, He came to give liberation from all sufferings forever, an ecstatic experience of loving God in this life, and transfer unto the eternal abode of the Lord at the end of this life. So one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the village of Kumarahatta. At the time, his loving devotee Srivas Thakur was living there. And Srivas and his brother Ramai Pandit were very, very best of friends. These days it's hard to find brothers who are best of friends. But they were best of friends. In fact, the husbands and the wives were best of friends. Srivas's wife was Malini. Everyone was best of friends in the family because Krishna was in the center of the family. If everyone is centered with the same purpose to love God, then naturally everyone loves each other. So Ramai Pandit and Srivas, they would just spend all day just reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting in kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya came and asked Srivas, all day you're just reading Srimad Bhagavatam, holy scriptures, and discussing it together and chanting the holy names. How do you make your livelihood? How do you feed your family? Srivas said, in my heart I have no fear or no anxiety for anything. Everything I want I have. And Lord Chaitanya said, but I'm asking you, how do you make your livelihood? How will you feed? How will you maintain? Srivas said, I'm happy. My family's happy. We don't need anything. Lord Chaitanya, he said, Srivas, if you're going to be like this, you should just take sannyas. Srivas said, I am not qualified to take sannyas. I will not take sannyas. I have no power to take sannyas. Lord Chaitanya asked, then tell me, how do you maintain your family responsibilities? How do you earn your livelihood to survive? And Srivas replied, one, two, three. So Lord Chaitanya asked, what? And Srivas replied, Lord Chaitanya inquired, can you explain? And Srivas replied, Lord Chaitanya asked, what is this 1, 2, 3? And Srivas said, if I clap my hands 3 times, no, actually what he said, if I'm chanting the holy names of the Lord with faith, and I am serving the devotees, if I clap my hand 3 times, and for that amount of time Krishna is not giving what we need to survive, I will go to the Ganges and drown myself. I will tie a pot around my neck and jump in the Ganges and go to the bottom. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he began to roar in ecstasy. He said, "So much faith you have in the chanting of the holy names, that I give you on this day a benediction, that if someday in this world, if there is such a drought that everyone is starving to death, if things get so bad that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, has to beg with a begging bowl door to door just to eat." He says, "If things get that bad, I guarantee there will never be a shortage of anything in Srivas Thakur's house because of his faith in the chanting of the holy names of Krishna." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Do you like that story? Thank you. Lord Chaitanya looked to Ramai Pandit and he said that you are such good friends with Srivas. My desire is you always serve your older brother. Always serve him. That will be my greatest pleasure. This is the eternal truth. To serve those persons who have great faith in the chanting of the holy names is the perfection of our life. There is no greater way of pleasing Krishna than that service. Also, during that stay, another great personality came, Vasudev Dutt. He came along with Shivananda Sen. And Vasudev Dutt, what a great devotee he was. His wonderful qualities are explained, that his life and soul was only for the purpose of doing good for others. He was willing to sacrifice everything and anything just to help others. He had an income, but he would just give it all to others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivananda Sen that, "Please help Vasudev Dutt to balance his life so something's there for himself." But he just, his whole life, and Vasudev Dutt would only see good qualities in others. It was impossible for him to look at a fault in another. He couldn't tolerate hearing the faults of others. He had absolutely not the slightest inclination to see a fault in another. He wanted to serve every living being by giving them Krishna. One time, Vasudev Dutt in Jagannath Puri, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya that, "I have been longing and yearning for many years that my only prayer in life be fulfilled." Lord Chaitanya asked that Krishna will fulfill any prayer you have. What is it? He said, "When I see the people of this world suffering due to forgetfulness of their constitutional relationship with Krishna, my heart breaks. It's unbearable. Therefore, please give me this one benediction, that every living entity, however pious or sinful they may be, take them all back to the spiritual world to enjoy with you permanently. And whatever sins, whatever bad karma are within anyone and everyone, let all those sins of karma come on me and let me suffer in hell forever. But take them all back and let them enjoy with you." And he was not saying this theoretically. From the core of his heart, this was his only desire in life, to do that service for everyone. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he began to cry. Such compassion. He said, Vasudev, why would Krishna want a devotee like you to suffer in hell? Just by your desire, the whole world will go back to Godhead. Because your desire is so pure. But after they all go back, the whole world will get filled up with another batch of people who want to enjoy. So this day when Vasudev Dat came to Kumarahata at Srivas's house, he fell at Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and began to weep. And because of his pure love and compassion and his natural saintly qualities, Vasudev Dat wept. It was so full of unalloyed love for God and compassion for all living beings that even hard stone, even dry wood, what to speak of human beings, their hearts would melt and they would weep just by hearing. It is said when Lord Chaitanya would weep, his weeping could be heard 2 miles away. And everyone would come running to see what is this, and their hearts would melt. So as the Lord, he empowered his own servants. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. And he told all the devotees that Vasudev Dat, he is such a pure soul that I have made my life his property. I have descended to this world only for him. My life belongs to him. If he wants to sell me anywhere, he can sell me. That is his power. But I tell you again, and please know this is the truth, that I am the property of Vasudev Dat. Because of the nature of his compassion to other living beings, purchase the Supreme Personality of God. Vasudev Dat, Srivas Thakur, these great devotees of the Lord, they were always tasting the sweetness of the nectar of hearing the glories of Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, serving Krishna. This is the real beauty of life. Beauty of life is not just accumulating so many material articles, procreating big, big families and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Beauty of life is not just getting a lot of fame, because actually, you try to be attractive, but in this world, the more attractive you become, the more people envy you. The more people want to exploit you. The more people want to use you. Everyone wants to be rich and famous, but the people who are rich and famous are miserable. Just like one very, very exalted and respectable person who Srila Prabhupada loved dearly. He was a member of the most famous of all rock and roll bands of the 1960s. And women were screaming and crying just seeing his picture. What to speak of seeing him? And everywhere his names were being chanted. Everywhere. Practically every corner of the earth. And yet the man said, those were the loneliest days of my life. He had millions of dollars. His name was in every newspaper, every magazine, along with the rest of the people he used to play his music with. Thousands of people would just jump on him trying to get a piece of his hairs or a piece of his cloth. He would have to have thousands of policemen just to keep the screaming crowds of people who were just weeping and crying, we love you, we love you. Well, what is that love? He knew everyone was just exploiting him for their sense gratification. And he was completely lonely and miserable. He's just trying to forget those days. Now he just works in a garden all alone. Those things do not bring happiness. Money, fame, material sentiments of love and affection. This is all an illusion. We work our whole life to get it, and most of us never even get it. So we have to take another birth trying to get it, and another birth, and another birth, and another birth, just trying to get it. And somehow or other, after many, many births, we may get it. And then we realize it's useless. I don't want it. Then we have to take another birth to find something else. Hare Krishna, this is life. Their material existence. But Krishna is telling us what is real happiness. What we should really strive to get. And when we get that, we want nothing else. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam. Just as an ocean is so full, whether the rivers come in rushing in the rainy season, or whether the rivers are just trickling in because they're so dry from the hot season, it doesn't disturb the ocean. The ocean is full in itself. So similarly, the fullness of the satisfaction of the inner understanding of our relationship with Krishna, coming through hearing and chanting and serving for the pleasure of Krishna, that brings such an experience that what happens in this world, even though we are conscious of it and we're dealing with it, we're transcendental to it. It just doesn't make so much difference anymore. When a materialistic person loses his money, during the Great Depression, here in Chicago, when the stock market crashed, so many people were jumping in the Chicago River, jumping off the buildings, because they couldn't face life without their bank balance. But devotee, if he has money, he uses it for Krishna. If he doesn't have money, he chants Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter. If he loses everything, he chants Hare Krishna. In Bombay, one of our devotees, now he's co-chairman of corporation worth billions of dollars. And big, big salary, and he gets all kinds of benefits. He's very famous, big, big house. And then the whole economy in India is in a shifting state. And so many big, big companies are just going down to the bottom. And so many people are going mad and going to psychiatrists and taking all sorts of drugs just to cope with the pressures and the anxieties. And I told him, listen, don't worry. Now he gives average about $12,000 a month donation to the temple. Average. And much more beyond that. And he's been doing that for years. And he's front page of magazines and newspapers about business all the time, and he gets a lot. So he said, actually, everything may fall to pieces. I said, don't worry. I said, if everything falls to pieces, you should know that you and your family could come and live in the Brahmacharya ashram. And we'll always have some prasad for you. And you'll... And he just said, that's all that matters. He said, in fact, maybe it's good if everything does fall to pieces. He was completely serious. Devotees are happy chanting the holy names and eating a little prasad and being with other devotees. What else do we need in life? We hear Krishna Katha, we chant Krishna Nam, we take some prasad, we do a little seva to make devotees happy. That's all we need. And if we make money and we can use the money, then we use it, we do it. If we can be a good example by having a good occupation and showing others how to use a family, how to use our house for Krishna, then we do it, it's nice. If we have it, we use it and we're happy. If we don't have it, we chant Hare Krishna and we're happy. But we don't need these things. As long as you need and you're attached to these things, you're always in fear. Because we do not know what the next moment will bring. So if we have talents, if we have resources, show the society how to use them properly. That is great preaching. And if you're like Chandramali Maharaj or Chandrasekhar Maharaj, somehow or other, they don't even have shoes if someone doesn't give them shoes. And if you don't give them shoes, they'll be very happy to dance barefoot wherever they go. It's no problem. Because they have Krishna. See, where do you find somebody so ecstatic like this? Just a mirror reflection of yourself. So this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, Krishna. The gift of Krishna. Krishna Naam, Krishna Kata, Krishna Seva, and Krishna's Bhaktas. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Mataji.
You were saying the story of Shri Bhaktivinoda can be practiced three times. And you said that he said, if you shall continue what you want, you want to serve the reader.
But before you go on, he didn't say if Krishna doesn't give me what we want. He didn't care. He said if Krishna doesn't sustain his devotee, I have no reason to live. He had that faith. If Krishna's pleased, he will always facilitate to his devotees to go on with his service. And we should all have that faith.
Like,
Hare Krishna. What he means is that he had complete faith that by pleasing Krishna through chanting the holy names, there's nothing to worry about. That is the essence of what he was saying. Does Krishna not provide for the insects? Does Krishna not provide for the birds and the trees? Why would Krishna not provide for a devotee who's surrendering his life to propagating the holy names of the Lord? Hare Krishna. Of course, we are not so advanced as Srivas. So some of us have to work. That's all right. We cannot imitate such a great personality. But we can certainly follow the ideal of his footsteps. And that means to become completely attached with faith to the process of hearing and chanting. Not that we should think that I have to work so much that I don't have time to chant. I don't have time to go to the temple to be with devotees. That should not be our mentality. Is there any other questions?
He was always charitable, willing to help anyone in need. He was very clean in his behavior. He was really a gentleman. And he was so devoted to Lord Shiva that everything he had, he would offer it with such love, with such devotion to Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva was so pleased with him that he awarded him 1,000 arms. Hare Krishna. With these 1,000 hands came tremendous supernatural powers. Lord Shiva is very famous when he dances. Therefore, he is known as Nataraj. So one time when Lord Shiva was dancing, Vanasura with his 1,000 hands was playing drums. So nicely he was playing the drums, increasing Lord Shiva's ecstasy to dance and dance and dance. Lord Shiva gave Bali Maharaj the benediction. What would you like? I want to give you something. You have pleased me so much by making me dance. Banasura replied, I have a problem. You gave me these 1,000 arms and hands with so much strength. I want to fight somebody, but no one wants to fight me. No one dares to come near me. Even the greatest warriors, as soon as I come before them and challenge, they just run away or surrender. I want to fight. I want to use my strength out of frustration that no one will face me in the battlefield. I take these hands that you gave me and I start beating on mountains. When Banasura would beat on these gigantic mountains, the mountains would be completely destroyed, disintegrated by his mighty fists. But still, he was not satisfied. Banasura said, my arms are itching for fighting. Material desires can come in so many forms. Sometimes we have an insatiable appetite, sometimes we have insatiable sex desire, sometimes we have insatiable desire to hear something, to see something. He had insatiable itching sensation in his arms just to fight and fight and fight and fight, but there was nobody who could fight with him. So he asked for this benediction, that someone would be an equal match. Lord Shiva said, you are a rascal. You want to fight so much, you are so puffed up. Soon you will meet a person who will be the cause of your total defeat. So anyways, it's a long story, a wonderful story. But we do get an idea of what a materialistic person is like. Even though born of a great devotee like Bali. Even though he was pious, honorable, charitable, even though he had received such great benedictions from Mahadev, still he's considered a miser and a demon. Because he was still attached to enjoying the fruits of his actions. He had a daughter of the name Usha, who was very beautiful. And in those days in Vedic culture, a woman who was unmarried, especially in the higher societies, they were not even allowed to be seen by a man. What to speak of having any other types of relationships? This is the way it was in the royal dynasties. Banasura made a wonderful palace just for Usha. And she had such wonderful friends, but they were all female friends. And she would just play with them and whatever else young ladies do. They were doing, having wonderful relationships. But one night she had a dream. And she woke up from her dream offering prayers of love to someone. So one of her best, most intimate friends was the daughter of the prime minister under Banasura. Her name was Chitraleka. And she happened to be a very wise, powerful, mystic yogini. But she loved her friend. And she said, "Oh, tell me, who is this person you saw in your dream? And I will find him for you, if he's anywhere in the upper, middle, or lower planetary systems." So Chitraleka started drawing paintings of all the various great personalities of the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Charanas. Then she started drawing pictures of the various great personalities in the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties. When she painted the picture of Pradyumna, the son of Krishna, Usha became a little bit bashful. And when she painted the picture of Aniruddha, the son, the grandson of Krishna, son of Pradyumna, she put her head down and smiled. Then Chitraleka said, "I will get him." So she started traveling through outer space to Dwarka, where Aniruddha was sleeping. And when Aniruddha woke up in the morning, he was in Usha's inner chambers. So, amongst Kshatriyas, this is a very difficult situation. When it came to Banasura's attention, that appears that your daughter is somehow in connection with a man, he became so shocked and furious, because it is explained by Srila Prabhupada that in the Vedic culture, if an unmarried woman closely associates with a man, it is the greatest disgrace to the entire family. What is society today? Hare Krishna. So Banasura came in and saw Aniruddha. He was very angry. He called his soldiers to attack. Aniruddha picked up a piece of metal bar and started fighting. But somehow or other, Banasura, by his great potencies, captured him. After the 4 months of Chaturmasya, the Yadus were wondering, where is Aniruddha? He has been gone a long time. Narada Muni explained the whole story. So Krishna and the Yadus attacked. Now, Banasura asked Lord Shiva for one other benediction, that whenever I need you to protect me, you will always be there to protect me. So Lord Shiva was in a difficult situation, because when Krishna attacked, Banasura called upon Shiva to be the commander-in-chief of his armies. So Lord Shiva, he oftentimes gets himself in these difficult situations by giving benedictions to materialistic people. On one hand, Krishna is his worshipable Lord, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Lord Shankar is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. In fact, an entire sampradaya is coming down through his teachings and his pure unalloyed devotion. The Rudra Sampradaya. So here he wants to worship Krishna. But he's given a benediction to Banasura that he will protect him. And he cannot go back on his word. And the only way to protect him is to fight Krishna. And he will. So he on his bull Nandishwar, along with his sons Kartikeya and Ganesh, riding on their carriers, Peacock and Rat. They went into the battlefield. Krishna, there was Pradyumna and Satyaki and so many other great warriors. It was a good fight. And ultimately it came to Krishna against Shiva. And this was a wonderful pastime. Actually, Lord Shiva later explained that the reason he fought was just to show everyone how great is Krishna. Shiva wanted to show all the Shivites that Krishna defeats him. That's his devotion, his humility. He does this from time to time. When he wanted to see Mohini Murti, he was very happy when she completely bewildered him, because he wanted to show the world, this is the power of Krishna. So he fought against Krishna with all his strength. He made it a very exciting fight. Just because he wanted the world to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is my master. Let it be known to all. But still, in order to make it a good show, he really fought with all his strength. He would shoot an air weapon, and Krishna would shoot a mountain weapon to counteract it. And then he shot a fire weapon, the type of fire that can destroy the universe at the time of devastation. But Krishna counteracted it with water weapon. He shot his most powerful of all weapons, the Pashupati Astra. But Krishna counteracted it with the Narayan Astra. And after that, what was left to be done? So Krishna sent a very wonderful weapon. It was called the Yawning Weapon. Does everyone know what yawning means? Whether you know it or not, most of you are doing it right now. This is a weapon that makes everyone so tired and sleepy, they can't do anything but yawn like this. They're helpless to do anything but just yawn. They're so tired. What can you do when you're so tired except yawn? Or go to sleep. But they were trying to stay awake. So Lord Shiva, he was just yawning. Couldn't do anything. He was helpless. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! Then Krishna put his attention on Banasura. And it was a good fight.
Krishna made it interesting. Ultimately, he cut off all his arms except four, was it? And then Lord Shiva said, please spare him. And Krishna spared his life, but made him quite normal. He met his match. He used his thousand arms to their full capacity and was ultimately completely defeated and had them all cut off by Lord Krishna. Similarly, Krishna cuts down our pride one way or another, either in this life or in old age or in death. So why not just utilize what we have for its real purpose, for the pleasure of Krishna, for the service of Krishna? If we don't do that, he will just cut away everything we have. We will flatten our pride. Srila Prabhupada explained, you can either bow down to Krishna in life, or ultimately you will bow down to Krishna at the time of death. But in one sense you gain everything. You gain Krishna. And in the other sense, another birth with bondage. So this particular verse of Bhagavad Gita is so instructive. O Dhananjay, Arjuna was actually the conqueror of real wealth. He was the supreme conqueror of wealth. Why? Because by his humble devotion and his desire to serve, he conquered Krishna. He conquered the wealth of the world for Yudhisthira Maharaj. But that is not so great. But Krishna's bhakta vatsal. He loves to be conquered by the love of his devotee. Yashoda Mai, she was just a mother by material occupational standards, but she conquered Krishna. When she would hold Krishna on her lap, she would say, Krishna, dance, and he would dance. When she would say, Krishna, sing, he would sing. Krishna, bring your father his shoes. He would bring father shoes. Krishna, bring me this sitting place. He would try to bring the sitting place. He was like a puppet in Yashoda's hands, as well as the other gopis. Krishna is conquered by love, by devotion. Therefore, this is the true meaning of Dhananjay. He conquered the supreme greatest of all wealth through bhakti, Krishna. Keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. And in that consciousness, surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. How to surrender to Krishna? It is very easy and very practical by engaging in the process of devotional service. Krishna explains the process of devotional service in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna descends in this age of Kali Yuga as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally demonstrate the process of devotional service by his own lifestyle. The essence of devotion or bhakti is to always remember Krishna. The remembrance of Krishna purifies our hearts, whoever we may be, whatever we have done. The process of remembering Krishna is most accessible through associating with devotees like tonight, and hearing the glories of Krishna and the higher truths we should aspire to achieve within this valuable human birth. In this age, Krishna has descended in his name
to conquer the ignorance within our heart, to protect the true interests of the soul who is a pure devotee of the Lord by nature, and to establish real religious principle. And what is real religious principle? Sarva dharman puritya jamami kam shiram braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye shami masacha. To surrender to Krishna. We can remember Krishna and be purified and achieve the ultimate wealth of Krishna himself, his mercy, his love, by chanting his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And do not allow Maya to deceive you. We must understand what are the real principles of morality and live by those principles, however difficult it may be. We should not allow the precious wealth we've been given to be stolen away due to carelessness. And what is that carelessness? Trying to enjoy the broken pieces of glass. You will cut your hands and bleed and suffer. Keep your focus on the rare diamond and chant the holy names of the Lord. Radha Gopinath Prabhu here? I especially want to offer my deepest gratitude to Sri Radha Gopinath Prabhu, who is dedicating so much of his precious life to help all of you here in Sion to receive the mercy of Lord Krishna. Previous Gauranga Prabhu was coming, previous Devamrit Prabhu. There's a whole parampara of great souls who have been coming to Sion to give Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And Murli Dar Prabhu and Radharani, Nitya Krishna Prabhu and Nitya Leela Mataji, Vishwambar and Braja Gopi, Subal, Niladri, Ranganath, Lalita, and so many others are extending themselves in so many ways to help all of you to be Krishna conscious. I'm very grateful to all of them. And I'm grateful to all of you for so sincerely opening your hearts to come this evening to experience the wonderful, wonderful gift of bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the greatest wealth and the source of the only true satisfaction to the heart. Taste the sweetness of Krishna and share it with others. That is the most exalted utilization of our lives. At this time we will have kirtan.